I don't think a virus has ever been political or partisan in nature. But then, COVID affected the whole human race. Now fingers are pointing all over the place. Welcome to Spectrum West, an entertaining space for shelter in place. I'm Al Ross, and as we continue our individualized existence, Wisconsin Public Radio is your consistent companion. We're making the most of a situation in the hopes it helps you do the same. This week, we're going to talk baseball, or the lack of baseball. We're still holding out hope that Carson Park and Eau Claire can host at least part of the Eau Claire Express season. And to find out how things are going internally, we called manager Dale Varsho. In Hudson, the Phipps Center for the Arts is a cultural hub. We'll find out how they're coping in a conversation with director John Potter. Jim Oliver provides a look at some Western Wisconsin Theater Company schedule updates and then shares his conversation with Ann Sessions of the Chippewa Valley Theater Guild. And this May episode of Spectrum West commences right here. Creative Economy Week is a celebration, a long time coming. It's observed each year in Wisconsin. Only after the case was made that arts and music and all things creative have much more than just an aesthetic effect on our lives. They are a fiscal force to not only be reckoned with, but also revered and recorded in our collective ledgers. This year's week, as most other celebrations, will be different. To find out how different, we spoke with Sarah Larson, representing Eau Claire's City Hall in downtown, and Kyle Lehman, a creative contributor and coordinator. Well, there are actually several adjustments. The alteration of Creative Economy Week from its original state to its current configuration, how downtown Eau Claire Incorporated is tweaking its agenda, and even how the city of Eau Claire continues to respond to our environment. And Sarah, you have the word communications attached to your title, so I'm going to ask about the two latter entities, downtown Eau Claire and the city of Eau Claire. Obviously, there are too many details of things being done, large and small. But aside from this special project, talk about the challenges you and colleagues have faced day to day, downtown and at City Hall.
Yeah. As part of Downtown Eau Claire, Inc., DECI, we are doing our best to help support our members and then also, businesses in the downtown. For specifically our own events, we had a couple scheduled during this time, and because they are run through the city and with the Governor Evers mandates going on, we had to postpone those and actually cancel some of them for this year. One of them was a recognition of some of our downtown businesses and awards that we had determined for them. So that's been a challenge, but the biggest thing is focusing on our membership and our businesses downtown, because we have such a great mix of businesses down there and organizations that we want to make sure that everybody makes it through this time. So we've been doing a scavenger hunt on our Facebook page that, just promotes different parts of the downtown. And every day there's a random winner drawn and they get cards for a business downtown. So that's just one way, as we're using some of the DECI funding to help, support these businesses by buying gift cards during this time. And then also just being in communication with them, asking what they need. Right now we're trying to get ourselves ready for when we have the rolling opening going through our state of different openings for the restaurants and businesses downtown.
Sure.
So seeing what they need, whether that's hand sanitizer or shields for their checkout areas. So we're just constantly trying to think of ways how we can support them.
People who have businesses downtown, are they continuing to communicate? Are you sort of brought up to date because you represent all of these people? Now, let me ask you this. DECI, does that involve membership, or is everybody just automatically involved?
It does involve membership. Yep, there's different tiers for how many employees you have.
Okay.
But, we also look at the downtown as a whole region as well. So we might, we were giving priority of buying gift cards from our members, but we're also, if somebody in the downtown is saying, hey, we're doing delivery now, or we're doing so-and-so, we're doing our best to, represent as many as we can.
Mm-hmm.
The challenging thing is, and I'm sure, Al, maybe you've seen this, is that a lot of people are doing their best to help. So we found with our staff time that we're not able to keep up to date with what everybody's doing all the time outside of our membership.
Mm-hmm.
So we're relying and partnering with, Volume 1, because they have their initiative to keep up to date what restaurants are doing what and things like that. So we're just cross-linking between partners and our community as well.
Are you able to provide resources for people who, and I guess that's the reason I asked about the communication, people who are saying, you know, I don't know if we're going to get back or not. Are you able to provide resources other than the economic boosts that are coming from elsewhere to say to people, you know, I think we can help you find what you need to make sure or to ease the pain of what you're going through and assure maybe that you'll be back with the rest of us?
Yeah, we're just doing our best to communicate digitally. And also this week we do have our board of directors meeting with Downtown Eau Claire, Inc., and we're doing outreach to all of our members to say, hey, you know, what's going on? What can we help you with? We've been sending out surveys, things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're considering doing grant programs if we can wrap our head around how much, you know, we can actually support from that perspective.
Sure.
But really, Aaron White, who is also the economic development manager for the city of Eau Claire, he's also the executive director for Downtown Eau Claire, Inc.
Okay.
He is always, you know, answering questions if people email him specific questions. We're just trying to connect them with, like, the federal resources, the state resources, as much as we can. But he's also willing to talk to people one-on-one to make sure that their specific needs are being met as much as we can without having the ability to provide all the financial resources to people.
Sounds like you're doing good work. Kyle, before we get to specifics on how Creative Economy Week will now be celebrated, give us a thumbnail definition of Ivy Media. You get that luxury.
Yeah, so Ivy Media is a digital media production agency within Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So what we do is we produce content digitally for businesses, bands, and all around the nation.
That's in a thumbnail. Appreciate it.
Yep.
That's the voice of Kyle Lehman and Sarah Larson. There are a couple people involved, and there are many more, in the creation of and the maintenance of Creative Economy Week, which is a statewide affair. And in Eau Claire, it's being celebrated from the 9th through the 16th. Creative Economy Week had some big plans for a big party involving lots of things to do and people to see. That's not happening. But, and this could be perceived as a silver lining, we're going to define the word creative in a couple ways this year. First, as a description of how people express themselves through their art and music, etc. That's the expected definition. But now, the word creative is being defined by all the ways that must be devised to have a creative economy week and celebrate it in a totally different manner than any normal way. So being creative is dictated by harsh reality this year and necessity. So chime in, each of you, with specifics on what's being planned, maybe day-to-day, because it doesn't really last that long. It actually, I see, begins on May 7th, the day that this conversation will first air.
Thursday, May 7th. Like Al said, we're not technically starting till the 9th, but we did create a Facebook presence for Artful Eau Claire, which will be featuring all things about Creative Economy Week. We had to do that because there's so many different people involved that we needed kind of a blanket or umbrella term and Facebook social media to get that information out. So on Thursday, May 7th, we're starting with the sculpture tour.
Mm-hmm.
That was when they were originally supposed to have their new sculpture tours installed. And so there's going to be a lot of sculptors from around the country coming to Eau Claire to help install that and have a celebration. We have wanted to still acknowledge that, even though it's now pushed back to June 10th instead. And it's also the 10th anniversary of the sculpture tour. And obviously, we all know that that's great public art that people have access to in our community. And we're the second largest in the nation, and that's really special. So we're starting that on the 7th. But then the committee kind of talked about highlighting different music and live performances through social media. Maybe, Kyle, you can talk about the YouTube playlist on May 8th, because a lot of times people in the community are going out on Friday nights enjoying live music.
So for what we're doing as far as the live music and all that stuff goes is, with everybody having their shows canceled or postponed, everybody had to pivot, and we had to come up with ways of, well, how can we be creative within our own homes? So a number of the artists needed capture card devices and ways to access digital shows via like donations and all of that stuff. So what we've done from Ivy Media is gone to a number of these artists within the Valley and said, here's the equipment that you're going to need. Here's how you set up the donations, how you set up your Facebook page to be able to accept those donations and then release these digital concerts so that you don't have to miss out on lost income or still, you know, keeping your mind occupied and busy, you know, through this tough time.
Mm-hmm. How many artists are we talking?
Oh, I'd say more than 20. Just about every artist whether you are a musician, a painter, writer, anything, has been doing these different live shows to generate some extra revenue and just bring some hope and, you know, some sense of community to the digital world.
Cool. That'll be fun. So, yeah, in the weekend, it appears, Sarah, as if Facebook is going to be the star Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, just kind of reminding people of we were all supposed to be together. These are the great things that were happening and just kind of shining the light that there's a lot of creative things happening in our community all the time that we kind of take for granted. And this will be a way to showcase that. And then just supporting our local economy for Mother's Day. If you do have a mother or special person in your life that you want to give a gift to, just supporting our local economy in that effort.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, that kind of brings through the week. And we just got confirmed that Terry Meyer and Sue Orfield are going to be doing a float performance on social media that they'll be recording at Artisan Forge with social distancing in mind. So that'll be really great. It's that Sue plays and Terry paints kind of and reacts to the playing that she does, which will be great.
Yeah.
And then we'll be turning back to our YouTube channel where we've curated a lot of local content. We've also sought out content from our local galleries and Chippewa Valley Tours kind of does a downtown walk of history. So we're going to be highlighting that. And we think that this YouTube channel is a really great transition outside of just a Creative Economy Week to show people how many creative, great things are happening in our area all the time. Then we have a couple panels planned for Wednesday and Thursday, Becoming a Full-Time Maker, which will be moderated by Red Mercantile, the owner, Becca Cook, and hosted by CoLab, which is a co-working space in downtown Eau Claire. So that'll bring in three different makers from around the state, just kind of giving how to do it and from their perspective. And then Thursday, Kyle, what you're planning for your panel?
Yeah, we're really excited to be hosting a panel called The Importance of Content, how small businesses or how creatives within our community can utilize the power of digital media and also utilize just the power of content to help promote their brand or promote their music. So it's going to be a really exciting panel that talks about kind of the overall mission on why you should be creating content and how to make it, you know, most effective.
And then Friday, you have an art exhibit.
Yeah, so because of this initiative, we're just sharing what we had planned and kind of seeking from others in the community what they're doing. And Artfly, ran by Kelsey Weinberg, she is doing a virtual reality art exhibition where she is getting work submitted via JPEGs, visual art, audio, and people can access it from their smartphones or computers. There might be also a secret room that you can unlock where you can donate to different things. I don't know a ton of the ins and outs, but it sounds like a really cool initiative. And kind of like that and the panels and everything we're doing, you know, we intended for everybody to be together, but I think it's really great that we're still hosting these things to show people that we're here, we're a community, and we want you to learn and enjoy this week as much as you can.
Yeah, that is really great. I can't help but to think, given how much adjusting everybody's going to have to do or is doing, that when we emerge from all of this and going forward in other creative economy weeks and even other events, people from the smallest individual artist to other groups involved in things like this, they're going to be much more loose and more nimble.
I think that this opportunity for us to all come together and do everything digitally here has opened up a lot of new sales channels for a number of artists. And it's also given artists that ability to pivot and that ability to problem solve and come up with new ways to create. So I'm extremely excited to see what happens when the, you know, the world opens back up again and we can go back to doing these, you know, physical shows.
I think it's going to be wonderful. That's the silver lining that we keep talking about. I have to congratulate you guys on making the best of a bad situation. Sarah Larson, Kyle Lehman, thanks for being with us here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Keep up the great work and keep us posted.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
You are just making us feel great. Thanks so much.
The website is downtowneauclaire.org. I understand for our Thursday listeners that, again, we had a little problem with a switch that doesn't seem to want to work, so you may have missed the beginning of that conversation all about Creative Economy Week and Downtown Eau Claire Incorporated. And to hear that in its entirety, and hopefully we're going to stay on for the rest of the show, but to hear it all, you can go to WPR.org, click on Shows, Spectrum West. Whole show will be there later on today, talking about Thursday. Also, the repeat on Friday night at 7 o'clock on the News and Classical Music Network. The future of baseball this season, how another iconic entertainment venue is handling our situation, coming up on Spectrum West. Support for WPR comes from Just Local Food in Eau Claire, community-owned and dedicated to providing locally sourced, organically grown whole foods. Information about membership is available at justlocalfood.coop. Support also comes from Charter Bank, offering fixed-rate mortgages, bridge loans, construction loans, and more. Loan officers Dawn and Susie are dedicated to providing personalized service. Charterbank.bank, invested in partnerships. Mr. Jim Oliver, as we've always said, has his finger on the pulse of theater companies found all around the West Wisconsin landscape. And yes, even with what's happening or not happening, there is a pulse. He begins with a look around and then focuses on one such company.
Those of us who enjoy following the 20-some theater companies in western Wisconsin find that the coronavirus that has shut down virtually everything, including those 20 theaters, has been kind of discouraging for those of us who enjoy talking to directors and executive directors and actors and anybody connected to the theater, be it professional or amateur. For example, some of the theaters whose sessions are just winding down, and for those starting soon, it's been a real problem. For example, the Red Barn Theater of Rice Lake has been gearing up for its 59th season. Auditions have been held and season tickets have been sold. Checking its webpage, we find that the Board of Directors has canceled its first two productions because of the statewide shutdown. And because of that, the Red Barn will not be accepting season tickets through the remaining shows in the season. And those who have purchased season tickets should go to the webpage and see what their options are. Elsewhere in the area, the Eau Claire Children's Theater actually held drive-up auditions in the parking lot in April for the show Disenchanted, and now they're holding virtual rehearsals, but Wayne Merrick, the executive director, is not real sure if they will have a performance. The Great River Shakespeare Festival of Winona has postponed its whole season until 2021. They call it just a brief time out. They say it's not being canceled or any of that kind of thing. They're going to carry the same shows that were planned for this year to next year. And the Heidi Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls has postponed Hot Off the Press, the musical by Jerry and Carol Way, and that will be until March of 2021. Talking to someone who has firsthand knowledge of all this stuff, Ann Sessions, who has been executive director of the Chippewa Valley Theater Guild since February of 2001, joins us by telephone to tell us what it's like to deal with the shutdown. I guess we'll have you talk a little bit about, this has been gone over a number of times, but together, Chippewa Valley, how does that tie into all of this?
Well, we're part of Together Chippewa Valley, which is a group of more than two dozen nonprofits in the area that have come together to do a single fundraising campaign to raise money to support organizations that affect food, shelter, education, pets, arts, culture, programs and services that people expect from their community. And everybody is cash-strapped and trying to raise funds so that they can continue serving the population.
Just out of curiosity, have you ever gone through anything like this before in your career?
No, absolutely not. It's one thing we plan for a lot of things, and we're up here in Wisconsin, right? We can kind of plan a little bit for winter, but shut down things occasionally. But I don't think that anybody really planned for a pandemic that shut everything down.
Mm-hmm. So how is the Theater Guild season ending? Has it started to end yet?
Yeah, essentially it ended in mid-March, right, when everything was kind of shut down. So we were kind of midway, a little bit more than midway through our 39th season. So in the fall, we had begun to design and create a 40th season, and now we canceled, all of our fundraising events, all of our plays, musicals, education classes in the summer for kids. And so it is quiet. We are operating, you know, without ticket sales, without audiences, without patrons, without students, and it is definitely rough.
She is Ann Sessions, who is Executive Director of the Chippewa Valley Theater Guild. How are you handling unfulfilled season tickets?
Yeah, so we're working to move some of the season shows that were in this current season into that 40th. And so then the board has been very flexible about trying to provide, you know, the best kind of content. We're working on how to sell next season tickets, knowing we kind of owe people a show already, since we weren't able to do Legally Blonde or Matilda in this season. And we're playing all that by ear. At this point, there is no definite date for anybody to start operations. There's kind of that question mark that kind of lingers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only sort of plan. So we're planning and programming.
Mm-hmm.
But we really don't know. And there's no way to know right now, since we really haven't peaked. We haven't started that clock of opening yet.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't know about patrons' level of confidence in attending programming. It's almost impossible to do complete social distancing, right?
In any kind of facility like that.
I know that there's places that have tried, you know, bars and stuff, but then they just close because it's silly.
Yeah.
You can stand on this circle, and then you're 6 feet over there, and you can stand on that circle. And, like, it isn't the kind of experience that people are looking for.
No, for sure. And then, plus, if you've got people who are performing together, it's hard to have them too far apart most of the time anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, you passed over the summer youth program. Is there any possibility of having a youth program, or is it pretty much over with?
Well, I think what will happen is that, you know, classes at the school district, you know, they'll have some probably in July and August, but none of them will be in person. And I think what will happen, though, is we will provide some free kind of content for kids over our Facebook page and website so that they're getting some of that curriculum, but not in the, you know, not in that planned way. Theater is about being together, right? About shared experiences. And it is pretty difficult to really provide somebody that quality classes online.
Mm-hmm. Are you planning for Theater Guild's upcoming 40th season?
We are. We're as flexible as possible. Hopefully we'll know. We may not know more until like end of June, early July for sure, but we have something tentative sitting there.
Do you have any of the plays selected yet, or are you still mulling those over?
Yeah, they have some selected, but since they kind of had to move shows inside that, they're still kind of working on what that season looks like. So, you know, the goal is to have a very exciting, right, 40th anniversary season so that we can sell to our season ticket holders and make sure that we're providing, you know, events that are celebratory. And we'll also celebrate the 15th season of the Grand already this fall, too. So it's kind of a double celebration.
Yeah, as I was thinking about this today, it occurred to me that one of my early interviews for Spectrum West was Bob Carr, and I remember we were talking about the new facility that you had just purchased.
Right.
How has that worked out for you?
Yeah, it's fantastic. So we were able to do so much programming that we weren't able to do before, and so we were able to serve more people. We're able to be the home kind of for productions for like the YMCA's youth rep and for other local theater troupes and local playwrights, you know, so that it ended up to be a really a good decision to be able to have a place of our own that you can perform and rehearse and hold classes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned casually the smaller theater companies that are able to use the facility. About how many of those are there? It seems like there's a new one comes up every year.
Yeah, I mean, some of them kind of come and go, but there's, you know, at least a half dozen theater troupes doing a lot of interesting things, right? And it's a way for playwrights to get out something new and performed. And so it's a nice thing that you always have that kind of creative force because it's very exciting, right? It's always different, and it allows you to do all these stories and shared experiences that you wouldn't be able to have.
Uh-huh. Well, we've been talking to Ann Sessions, who is executive director of the Chippewa Valley Theater Guild. Best wishes to you as time goes on for the 40th anniversary.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Mr. Oliver, as usual. There's a lot to putting a baseball season together. That's coming up next. And hey, well, that's second to next. Congratulations to all those participating in commencement ceremonies around West Wisconsin. UW Stout gets the ball rolling Saturday. Sorry you couldn't do the traditional way, but oh, the stories you'll have for your children and grandchildren. Well, you know, we've been wandering Western Wisconsin by telephone, connecting with venues that normally welcome swarms of happy people to exhibits and classes and live performances. Checking in is what friends are for, after all. Why, if I was a good cook, I'd probably leave a casserole, the way neighbors used to express their support for each other. And now that I think of it, someone out there listening could and should come up with a COVID casserole, a recipe put together just for this occasion, one to share with those who need a lift. But that's another matter altogether. Back to the venues. This week, we called on John Potter, executive director of the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. You have been involved in the arts scene for several years, and as an executive director, have seen your share of ups and downs, reasons for things happening and not happening. You've developed a thin layer of Teflon and the chameleon factor, which allows you to adjust when necessary. But, John Potter, tell me about what it's like to be enduring something like COVID-19 as a person who leads a place where people coming together is what it's all about.
Indeed it is, and we hope to do that just as soon as possible. So the center has been closed since March 16. However, we have moved everything that we can online. So it's virtual presentations right now. We're doing our best to keep in touch with all of our patrons and to also celebrate the creative spirit in any way we can think of, just as we have for the last 37 years. So right now we offer two gallery shows with another one soon to be displayed, virtual tours online. We've got a Mother's Day sale coming up, the Phipps apparel and gift certificates. We're offering dance mini tutorials that we encourage students to then film them and put them online. We have YouTube and Facebook and of course, our own website. And then we're just finishing a month of children's theater classes online, and we're looking at how to move our summer art classes online, should that be necessary, and I do believe it will be.
Yeah, you have a fairly energetic summer of classes, and that's kind of an annual thing.
It is. It's very popular, and it has been for years, and we're hoping that we will be able to either modify and offer those classes virtually or create new ones, especially for the summer art camp. So that's what we're working on right now. The board just approved the entire 2020-21 season. That is to say, season of performing arts. And now we'll see if we get to produce or present any of that. So we're just taking it 1 month at a time, really, and following the governor's directives and trying to do our best.
Since you brought that up, tell us about the development of a new season. You must have been handcuffed a little bit in trying to figure out how it's going to open up, because when does your season normally open?
Most seasons start in July and run through June. Going back to the current season that we're in, we canceled very few events and actually moved them into the 2020-21 season. And one of those events was our spring community theater production of Busybody. Mm-hmm. That was scheduled for April, and we moved that into July, thinking, well, that'll give us plenty of time. And now, unfortunately, we are faced with canceling that production. So we do have two concerts in August, and we'll just see how things go.
John Potter on the phone with us, executive director of the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. We are talking, as we have been in previous weeks, about how venues are adjusting to the situation. Back to the virtual stuff that you guys are working on, John, how are people being helped from a technical standpoint to make these virtual things happen?
I'll take myself as an example. I'm as close to Amish as you can get. And although I have nothing to offer that community in the way of practical abilities. But
see, now I have a mental picture of you with a hat and beard now, so that'll never go away.
If I can adjust to it and look forward to hosting Zoom meetings, I think anyone can. And that's what we've been doing, is really doing our best. Some instructors take to it more naturally than others. We're trying to let folks do what they're capable and comfortable doing. But really, everybody has been extremely resourceful. And I think going forward, we'll actually be able to offer some classes using social distancing that we never thought we would do before. For instance, ballroom dance. Tom Larson is a longtime instructor with us and said, yeah, I think I can do that.
And I'm guessing that by now, you guys are kind of getting in a little bit of a groove.
We are. And I think the Phipps Center, like most places, thought that this was going to be a shorter duration of stay-at-home. The phases that have been announced now by the governor's office would indicate that gatherings over 50 are going to be in the phase 3 category, and that may be a while before we can go back to business anywhere near normal. But in the meantime, we've been adjusting as best we can.
The governor, your location allows you to draw from a couple states. Those residents, some of who may be listening, even in Minnesota, may find themselves living in slightly different worlds given how their respective state decides on its resurrection. As a Wisconsin entity, you are bound by Wisconsin instructions, though. I bring it up because it's a little different for you living on the border. Do you sense that might be the case? As far as people showing up, I mean.
Yeah. Yes. 50% of our database are Minnesota addresses. So we've always straddled both states. But I think at this time, the governors are pretty much in agreement as to how to handle things. They may announce things a couple weeks off from the other, but nevertheless, I think they're united in how to go about this.
I feel a lot better now, knowing that the Phipps is adjusting, making do with what you have to work with. But we should address the word support. You know, you're not taking any tickets at the door right now. Okay, let's talk about the summer art classes. People have to register for those things, don't they? Do they have to pay for them? Is the structure that way the same? Even though things are not hands-on, they're going to be virtual and video.
Yes. So to this point, we have offered classes either free or next to free.
Okay.
I think that will have to change looking at summer art camp simply because what's required of the instructor will be greater than what we've asked them to do so far, and we're going to have to compensate them accordingly, and we're going to have to get closer to the way we've done business in the past.
All understandable stuff. I bring that up because it just popped into my head, and
I appreciate that.
It's important for us to speak the truth to people and have them realize exactly what's happening. Let's go back to the word support, because it's more vital now than ever. You're not out there whining and saying, gee whiz, help us out, please, but it's a fact.
It's true. We have not done any fundraising other than to say if we have canceled a class or postponed it and you wish to make a donation of those tickets, then we would certainly be more than happy to accept that. But I would imagine that early fall we'll go into our usual annual fund campaign, and at that time I think we'll have a case to make that we're still celebrating the creative spirit in any number of ways and ask for support.
In all the years that places like the Phipps have been in operation, I would think that this has to be one of your and patrons' proudest moments. Only the strong survive, and you are adjusting, and you're doing what you have to do. Tell me about John Potter's pride in what's going on.
Oh, that's a wonderful way to put it, Al, and I had not thought about that, really, but what's impressed me so very much is the way the board of directors and the councils and our committees, our finance committee, our human resources committee, have just stepped up and done a fantastic job in looking at all the options, looking at our resources, and making very wise and compassionate decisions. We are so fortunate to have the folks that we do serving on the board at this time. None of them signed up for this, and they've just all really stepped up, and I would say the same of the staff. They're doing absolutely whatever they can to make this work. Enormously proud of all of them.
As I knew it would, talking to John Potter has made me feel better. Thanks so much for being with us, and keep up all the great work at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson, and we look forward to talking to you more and more and more as time goes on. Thanks.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Al.
The website, of course, is thephipps, PHIPPS.org. This is Spectrum West on WPR. Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Marquardt Toyota, continuing to offer auto repair and sales with measures in place to protect the health and safety of guests and the team. More information is available at MarquardtToyota.com. One of the largest holes in our spring so far is the absence of baseball. By now, the Brewers, sorry Cubs fans, would be leading the National League Central Division, but not this year. And who knows whether we'll play ball or not. And if we do, how will the game change? We have baseball on secondary levels as well around here. The Northwoods League features college ball players developing and entertaining fans at the same time. The Eau Claire Express is normally getting ready to open their season, but again, not this year. To talk about it all, we called field operations head Dale Varsho. You're a baseball guy. You hang out with and talk with other baseball people. What are they saying in the face of this thing like we've never seen before?
Well, you know, it's tough because, you know, my nephew's in the minor leagues, my brother's still a Pirate Scout. So on the major league side of things compared to the Northwoods League side of things, everyone's kind of up in the air of not knowing what's going on and how we're going to move forward and what's our start date.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
kind of back and forth every day.
You know, before I ask you what recruiting is like now, tell us first about the normal process of you getting guys to consider coming to Eau Claire for the summer. Then we'll talk about what spring of 2020 is like.
I mean, if you look at my roster over the 16 years, it's all about communicating with the same amount of schools, the same schools itself. It used to be like San Diego State. Now it's San Diego. Now it's Dallas Baptist, UIC in Chicago. I mean, you're talking about the same schools over and over that I deal with that give me pretty much the cream of the crop of their program. So
okay. mm-hmm.
that's kind of like the first step. And then whenever that runs out, then I go to phase two, figure out what my needs are. Every NCAA school is only allowed to give you four players.
Didn't know that.
From there, it goes to what my needs are. In the league itself, in the Northwoods League, we have some regulations of 14 position players and 16 pitchers. You have to kind of pick and choose of what you're looking for. If you need to carry three catchers or five outfielders and what kind of utility players you have, or if you have any dual players that play position and pitch, it's kind of a puzzle that you got to try to put together. And it hasn't been the most difficult thing for me of getting players, just the quality of players, is always the question and the attitudes that they come to summer baseball with.
And how do you get them? How do you see them? Do you actually physically scout people? Do you look at video? What do you do?
A couple things. First of all, I take the word of coaches that have given me players year after year, and
sure.
I really trust their opinions rather than going out to watch them. Otherwise, I do ask for video. A lot of guys send me video. The chances of me getting out to try to check out everybody is pretty much slim and not really in the budget. So kind of take everybody's word for it.
And how many people are you competing with for, let's say, a five-star ball player?
Whew. You're competing with pretty much every summer collegiate team in the country, and there's a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
Northwoods League is one of the top programs in the country, and
that's good.
So people want to come here, so that helps a lot, especially on the position side. Pitching side, more and more college coaches are really limiting their innings and limiting their opportunities to even get out in the summertime because they want to save their arms. But overall, Northwoods League has no problem getting quality players because they're really a quality program that people want to go to.
Okay, so that's how it is normally. And here,
right.
here we find ourselves in the spring of 2020. It's kind of a nail-biter because, you know, your opening day is usually late May. You have a very limited season that only goes through, I think, basically early August, coupled with the fact that college seasons, the World Series in Omaha has been scrapped. This is weird.
Yeah, this is something that you can't really fathom. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you try to piece it all together. And right now, getting players is not a problem. Everybody wants to play this year because their season got cut off short.
Sure.
So everybody is chomping at the bit to get into play. Unfortunately, there's all kinds of different scenarios of, you know, when's Wisconsin going to open up to 6-foot distances and social media stuff and just being next to each other without a mask and things like that. So
mm-hmm.
There's just so many things that are putting a wrench in the whole system. So the foremost is we got to make sure everybody's safe.
Yeah.
So, you know, the city of Eau Claire, to make sure that everything's okay to be at Carson Park. What's that going to look like? We really don't know as a business side of things and being safe for our fans.
Used to be only catchers wore masks.
Right, exactly.
You know, a player's perspective, summer league is big for these guys.
Yeah, summer league for Major League Baseball is big. Our league is known for a minor league system type of atmosphere and the same travel, same food. And it's a proven fact that if they succeed in our league, they succeed in the minor leagues. So it's a really big thing for players, for everybody. I mean, most of the really good recruits that you have are usually freshmen. Freshmen are your high-profile players usually because they're not – well, they didn't get enough innings in or something like that, but they're still on the cusp of being really, really good later in their career. So this is a big time for them and an important time for them to get seen by Major League Baseball in a little different atmosphere. I mean, most colleges still run with aluminum bats. We got wood bats. It really does reflect off what they can do in a minor league setting, and that's why Major League Baseball is all over the Northwoods League.
I have the word rusty written on my notes here. What are you hearing about how players are working out and keeping sharp? Because, you know, you can work out playing baseball and playing catch and doing a ton of other things and still keep distancing, but I've always heard, and I know it's true, that there's really nothing like a game situation.
You know, things haven't changed since you played, Al. I mean, playing the game is a lot different than practicing.
Yeah.
Will there be rust? Absolutely. Will there be guys just can't wait to play? That's true, but are they going to be equipped and ready to go from day one of going over 100 pitches for your pitchers? Probably not. We're looking at probably, you know, kind of a spring training opportunity to open up, but making sure that they stay safe on the mound and playing innings and kind of go through that whole realm of just making sure that they're safe on the playing surface.
Dale Varshow, manager of the Eau Claire Express Baseball Club, part owner too, I believe. We're talking about baseball, the prospects for it. This is the All-American game, America's pastime, and it's being affected by America's problem. Last I heard, the major leagues are considering a few options. Do those of the Northwoods League kind of mirror those approaches? Are you thinking along the same lines, possibly?
We're trying. I mean, we're going to take everything in consideration, all the major sports, but we're not in those big cities either. So it's a little different where someone could be safe in Eau Claire compared to Milwaukee. It has a factor, but not making sure that we do exactly what Major League Baseball does.
Mm-hmm.
I know everybody can't wait to get started and get going, but, you know, we just got to make sure we're careful.
These ballplayers come from all over. Are they good with
adhering to what Wisconsin says? You have to adhere to what Wisconsin says.
Absolutely. The municipality says in each actual city, too. The state could have one regulation, but the city might have another. So we just have to be careful of following all those rules and regulations. And if the city comes back and says, hey, you can't start till July 1 or August 1 or July 15th, it doesn't matter what date it is. Mm-hmm. We have to go off their regulations, what they think is going to be safe.
Let's take that July 1st date just hypothetically. You get the green light to start July 1st. What is Dale Varsho imagining? You're going to have to put things together quickly.
Yeah, player side of things are going to be pretty simple. It's more or less the stadium, the stuff that has to go on in the stadium, getting the people there, getting the staff. If we start July 1, what are the regulations? Are there still going to be distancing a part of everybody if they have to wear a mask? If they have to get their temperature taken before they enter the stadium, how are you going to stay safe? I don't know the future. I don't know what that all entails, and I don't know exactly what that date is. I wish the date would come out, but you know, right now we're still up in the air of what is all going to be taking place.
Mm-hmm. Without personal or professional details, how's the solvency of the Eau Claire Express Baseball Club? Let's say there isn't baseball this summer.
That's going to be tough for us. I think we'll stay solvent. I think we'll stay an entity. At what capacity, I'm not sure. It all depends on if we can get back to the same type of classification, being okay to be with each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we run off our fans. If our fans don't think it's safe to be there, we're going to be in trouble. But hopefully we can find a solution to the virus and be okay like it used to be.
Testing. It all comes down to that, doesn't it?
Right.
Summer is known for many things that we work hard to enjoy because we four-season folks have learned to compartmentalize, and there are any number of things we can do without and still have it feel like summer, but baseball is not one of them. If there was ever a time when baseball's reputation as the all-American pastime got defined and redefined, it's now, because the absence is glaring.
Oh, absolutely. Baseball is the number one thing in summertime, and not only that, but spring. I have a senior in high school that can't play. His best sport, his only sport that he really wants to play, and now he can't play.
Oh, that sucks.
So it's tough. It's kind of a tough thing to swallow right now in all of the United States, and not only us, but worldwide.
To some people, it might sound trite, but I think that America and Eau Claire are truly finding out what baseball means to us.
I think you're right. You know, you can go to Carson Park almost any day of the summertime and watch baseball.
Yeah.
And now it's not open.
What baseball-y things is Dale Varsho able to do? How are you able to inject baseball into your days these days?
Well, I still got my two sons and my daughter going to the field almost every other day to hit ground balls and do some things. But otherwise, just communicate with the players that I have coming here and letting them know that I don't have a definite date of when to come and when to get at it. So it's a tough thing.
Well, my fingers are crossed, and I'll be one of the first guys in line once they say, play ball.
Well, I appreciate that, Al. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us, Dale.
You bet.
As I said, my fingers are crossed, and my glove is in the car at all times. And I'm going to hold out hope that ballparks will be ballparks sometime this season. Spectrum West will continue to shape itself around current events and offer diversions as a reminder that life goes on. Episodes of the program are available at WPR.org, especially those that have been cut short by that stupid little switch that doesn't work sometimes. If you go to WPR.org, click on Shows, Spectrum West, and the date, you'll get it. Next week, the history of the ukulele. Libraries get creative. The COVID experience is being archived on the university level. That's interesting. And more on Spectrum West. Thanks a lot for being in the audience. Thanks to Dean, Kate, Catherine, and Jim. Be sure to live safe and live smart, will you? Again, during from USA Today's list of the top 100 songs to get you smiling during a pandemic, here's number 6, Kacey Musgraves' little thing from 2018 called Rainbow. Let's get together next week again.
When it rains. but you didn't even notice. It ain't raining anymore. It's hard to breathe when all you know is the struggle of staying above the rising water line. Well, the sky is finally open. The rain and wind stop blowing, but you're stuck out. See what I see, you'd be blinded by the colors, yellow, red, orange, and green, and at least a million others. To tie up the bow, take off your coat and take a look around, 'cause the sky is finally open. You're stuck out in the same old storm again. You hold tight to your umbrella. Well, darling, I'm just trying to tell you that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. The sky has finally opened. The rain.